Adams, founder of Incandescent Public Relations, publisher of Being Incandescent Business Magazine, and your host for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, the voice of entrepreneurs. Hi, this is Hope Gibbs, founder of the Incandescent Radio Network. Welcome to the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show. We are here today with Jenny Walker, Director of Global Learning and Market Development at the Jajafi Global Mindset Institute at Thunderbird University in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thanks, Hope. I'm glad to be here with you all today.
So Jenny is the author of Developing Global Mindset, the Handbook for Successful Global Leaders, which she wrote with Manshur Javidan, director of the Najavi Global Mindset Institute, and he's also a Garvan Distinguished Professor at Thunderbird, and he's our Entrepreneur of the Month in the 2013 issue of Be Incandescent magazine. Jenny is our truly amazing Woman of the Month, and we are so impressed with your book and the fact that you've co-authored it with this amazing gentleman. But before we launch into our Q&A, let's give a little background on your amazing and illustrious career. So Dr. Walker has worked in adult learning and performance since 1995 and has specialized in corporate leadership development since 2002. She's designed and delivered leadership programs for several Fortune 500 companies in multiple industries. Her research and work focuses on the most effective methods to develop individuals and teams for success in complex, diverse, and increasingly global environments. She's also a frequent presenter at professional conferences, including the Society of Human Resource Management, the Academy of International Business, the American Society for Training and Development, and the American Education Research Association. So that is an impressive resume, absolutely. So let's get started with our Q&A. So let's talk first about this book, Developing Your Global Mindset. What does that mean exactly?
Well, global mindset is a concept that is not new. It has been around the business world for quite some time, and you see it in the literature starting really around the 1960s that these terms are even being used. And all people really acknowledged at that time is that people needed to have some global awareness. There were elements of cross-cultural understanding that might help them be more successful with their businesses. But over the past 50 to 75 years, we've had a lot of insights about what global mindset means. And here at Najafi Global Mindset Institute, that is all that we really focus our studies on, is how do we better define what it means to have a global mindset? How do we measure it? And how do we develop it? And what we've come up with is that global mindset is really the key to building deep understanding and partnerships across complex global environments. And those complexities include culture, political environments, different economic environments, and regulatory differences that can really be some obstacles for people trying to do business across borders. And so global mindset encompasses a set of key capabilities to be an effective global leader.
Fascinating. So tell us more about the book. What is the goal? Who is your audience?
Great question. So we have been measuring people's global mindsets for some time now, and we have about 19,000 plus leaders around the globe who we have assessed. And for the past few years, the question after assessing people and their strengths and areas of opportunity have been, so now what? What do I do now that I know where I stand with my global mindset? It was, how do I develop myself? Practical, engaging ways to develop myself in global mindset. And that's why we wrote the book. It takes all 35 capabilities within what are 9 dimensions of global mindset, and it speaks to what they are. What do we mean when we talk about cognitive complexity, for instance? What does it take to be successful in that particular dimension? And then we break it down very practically into what people can do in a variety of different learning methodologies. So we know that picking up a book is not going to cut it for a lot of people. They're not interested. They have plenty to read in their day jobs. So perhaps what are some ways that they can develop that by better connecting with other people, having conversations? How can they truly experience that in hands-on ways? And if somebody is already quite proficient in a particular area, how do they then coach and develop others and contribute to their organization's development in that particular capacity? So we explore each of the dimensions fully as to how they can be developed in dynamic ways. And we've done that from a research standpoint as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. So let's just review a little bit. In our Tips for Entrepreneurs column in the August issue of beingcandescent.com, we talk about, or we outline what you talk about when you say a global mindset. So this includes three key areas: a global intellectual capital, a global psychological capital, and a global social capital. And the way that you and Mansoor have broken this down makes such perfect sense. So in terms of global intellectual capital, you suggest build your global business savvy, take a cosmopolitan outlook, and expand your cognitive complexity. To develop a global psychological capital, you suggest have a passion for diversity, explore your quest for adventure, redefine self-assurance, which I love that. And then in the third area, you talk about developing global social capital, and your instructions are embrace intercultural empathy, increase your interpersonal impact, and improve your diplomatic skills. So this seems like a perfect way of not only being able to work internationally, but develop yourself as a human being wherever you may live. Was that one of your goals?
It's definitely a holistic model. So it's looking at the full scope of capabilities needed to succeed in complex global environments. We know that based on our research, which has included interviews and assessments of people who are working in these real-world demanding global positions, that research has turned up that it does take this range of capabilities that inspire hearts and minds and motivations and excuse me, and interests. It encompasses all of those so that people can really approach these cross-cultural interactions with their whole selves, like you've put that.
And when I interviewed Mansoor, we actually met at the Professional Businesswomen of California conference, and he talked about how difficult it is for a lot of corporations, because we all grow up in a monoculture where we're taught, you know, we live here in Northern Virginia, and my kids have been learning about the explorers of Virginia forever. Like, is there no one else to teach them about? So, you know, we all grow up like that. And then we're in some corporations, you're thrown into this international multicultural environment, and you're expected to shine when you may be afraid of differences, you may not speak the culture or like the food. And so was that at the core of some of the things that you were tackling in this book?
Yes, definitely. Growing up uniculturally, or with really limited exposure to diversity, is common, but I've been heartened by some of the audiences that I've worked with recently in asking that question about their diverse experiences as children. More and more people seem to be raising their hands, and so I think we're doing a better job in some cases in our educational system, but we don't do enough, and we certainly have a very large gap in diversity education, much less cross-cultural education, when we look at the American educational system for sure, and others in among countries as well. We simply have gaps there, and a whole set of generations who haven't had a lot of exposure, and they're having to play catch-up. These are people who have now entered very senior executive roles or responsible for global operations or a global arm of operations and are feeling ill-prepared, and they may have some consequences in their careers as a result.
Right, and that seems to be at the bottom of all of this, and why I think it's so important, regardless of whether you're working internationally. It's just so important to know, even if you're in DC, for instance, to be able to work with other people from other cultures, and more cities are becoming so diverse like that. Is that something that's you're also trying to address in the book?
Definitely. We take the approach in each of these dimensions, when we look at how to develop them, that it can happen in your own backyard. And DC is a perfect example. Those who have the luxury of living in a huge city like DC are going to have opportunities to expose themselves to new people from different cultures, different languages, different ways of being and thinking in the world, and new and diverse environments. You can literally go into different parts of Washington, D.C., New York, Miami, Los Angeles, and have some pretty authentic cultural experiences that you may not have grown up with yourself. For those who live in smaller cities or even in rural areas, there are still ways to develop the capacity to be successful in global roles. It just means being a little more creative with how they do that, and we try to present a wide range of development activities in the book for considering those people as well.
And the book, really, it's almost 700 pages and it, or 650, and it's really chock full of just amazing amounts of information. It's like a Bible for how to work globally. So tell us, how does this fit in with Thunderbird's Najafi Global Mindset Institute?
Well, our mission is to define, assess, and develop global mindset. And we do that for corporations, not-for-profit organizations, government entities, and we also work with quite a few business schools to help them better prepare students for global realities, especially in the business world. So it fits directly in our mission. We have an interest in helping people be better prepared, and at the heart of that is Thunderbird's mission to create sustainable business worldwide. The way that we interact at the ground level as managers and leaders around the globe has an impression. It makes an impression with people. It could be the first time that they've interacted with someone from that particular country, and they start to make associations about what people in that country are like, what it's like to do business with them. And we want to make sure that we are fostering really fluid, strong, cross-cultural business relationships. And that starts with having a global mindset.
It's so interesting. So how did you get into doing this work?
It's a great question. I actually started off as a journalist some years ago. I was in both print and broadcast journalism. And one of my peers said to me that he thought that I would be particularly good in a corporate training environment, and I didn't even know what that was. And when I explored it more fully, I saw, well, this is about communicating with others. It has a lot to do with writing. I loved teaching from some of the work I had done elsewhere. And so I transitioned into corporate training, and over the course of the years found that I had a real affinity for working with people from other cultures and really developing people around diversity and cross-cultural management issues. So I spent a number of years in corporate training departments, developing leaders, and I was pursuing my doctorate in higher education with a focus on global leadership development methodologies. When I met Mansoor, I had looked at some of his research and contacted him to get some insight into some of his work. And I thought, you know, I'm never going to hear from this person. He's super important in the business world, or the academic business world. And I heard from him right away. It turns out that here at Thunderbird, they had an interest in somebody that had an eye for both the academic side of management development, but they needed somebody that could really translate that into the practical working realities of business professionals. How do we take what we know from our research and develop people? And so I was brought in very specifically to do that.
Fascinating. And how's it been going?
It has been such fascinating and rewarding work, and I am consistently inspired by the people who I meet who are so very passionate about connecting with people across the globe, about doing good in business. They really have some higher motivations to work with diverse others. And that inspires me daily. And to know that I'm able to play a part in guiding their development and providing them with solutions to problems that they've really struggled with is rewarding.
That's so interesting. Can you give us some case studies, experiences that you've had specifically with how this work has impacted you and also how it's influenced your belief system about what it means to work globally?
This work has really enforced my beliefs about what it means to work globally. So I'll rewind to the 90s when I was a university student, and I was a Spanish language and a journalism major. And I decided that I really didn't have this great capacity to learn languages. As much as I wanted to be fluent in Spanish, it just was not happening here in Colorado. And so I knew that I needed to study abroad. And I ended up living in Spain, Argentina, and Chile, and had such amazing experiences there. It really connected with me that it not only is it personally interesting to me to travel and meet new people, but to spend quality time with them, months of time developing these relationships, it's fulfilling for me. I learned so much, and I see that we have so much opportunity to connect across the globe just as human beings. And so knowing that I can take my work and connect that and inspire and influence other business leaders out there who have a lot of hands-on interaction across the globe is something that I enjoy, and it has really just reinforced those early experiences that I had that we need to do a better job connecting with people across the globe because we have so much in common. We have common interests, and we also have some differences that we need to work to resolve to have better understanding between our societies.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I've lived abroad too, and it's fascinating. I remember being in Tel Aviv when I was in college and thinking, Americans will have a really hard time understanding the Middle East. It's such a different way of being that you have to just sort of appreciate it and suspend what you know and just be where you are. And I think that's a hard thing for a lot of people to do.
And I think what I see too is that while fortunately many of the people that I work with in corporations specifically have a real desire to improve their global mindsets generally, every now and again I still run into people while I'm working abroad who believe that they have a very strong global mindset, that they know what it takes to be successful, and I see them offend, insult, break relationships with people across cultures, and it's really disheartening. And so it affirms to me that we just have so much more work to do generally in the world. And we see that our business students often assume that we've made such huge progress. We've made progress, but there's a lot more to be done, which is why I think this particular book, anytime that we can disseminate information to connect with people around this topic, is really important. Spreading the word.
Absolutely. So dive into the book with us for a little bit. Tell us, give us just one important tip. Like, what is your favorite tip in the book that we must take away from this podcast?
My favorite tip in the book is that we need to develop ourselves dynamically. And that is because we spend a lot of time in learning and development initiatives doing the same thing over and over again. And I see that across companies. We have some limitations, whether it's in resources or just the way that we think about learning and development. It needs to be in a classroom, or it has to entirely be focused on a business project, when really there are dynamic ways that we can be developing ourselves daily. And I see this link when I talk to leaders in talent management that they're starting to get it more and more. I just came back from a talent management conference in New York, and there were some leaders, for instance, saying, you know, I feel like we need to be incorporating more of people's personal interests in their development plans to really connect with them, to really help them develop along the whole scope of their lives rather than just compartmentalizing who they are as a manager. And I would agree with that. I think if we can find more engaging ways to learn, not only do we learn better, but I think that we help the organization really get inspired to improve as well.
And so it's a holistic approach. It's sort of diving in and embracing it. What do you think holds most people back? You mentioned a few minutes ago that, you know, people embarrass themselves. They, you know, sort of shoot themselves in the foot. What do you think is going on in their minds?
Well, what I tend to see is that people who are not avid travelers, who haven't had a lot of exposure to diversity, and by exposure, I don't just mean growing up looking at diverse people. Maybe there were diverse people in their classrooms or in their universities, but I mean really connecting with others. If they've not had that experience, friends, study abroad, working abroad, it can be scary for people. And usually I find it is around the unknown. I don't know how to speak that language. I don't understand what those gestures mean. I'm not sure how I feel about these particular cultural differences. Do I need to change what I wear or how I speak? And what if I make a mistake? So I think there's some fear about the unknown. And the beauty of Global Mindset and of this book specifically is that you can determine where those fears are and you can do something about it. You can find some resources, some development tips to really latch onto. And instead of shying away from these experiences, you find ways to engage in them. And by doing that, I think we grow as people and we certainly grow as global leaders.
Oh, it's beautiful. So, all right, before we don't want to sign off too soon, can you give us three tips for entrepreneurs that you want people to know as they head out to pick up your book?
Three tips. That's tough. There's 658 pages in the book. But if I had to pick the top ones, I would suggest that entrepreneurs really focus on their global psychological capital. And that is because having a passion for diversity, a quest for adventure, which really means an interest in engaging in new experiences and in exploring new places, and in building our self-assurance, all three of these dimensions of global psychological capital are good prerequisites for building global mindset. If we can tap into the heart of psychological capital and really explore our motivations and values and interests for working in the global space, it helps us develop. It helps us really get to the heart of the issues that may be holding us back from our career goals, from our personal goals that are around the globe.
Oh, excellent. You got a couple more?
Oh, so we're counting that as one tip.
That's one.
We're
milking it, baby.
Sure. Beyond global psychological capital, I would suggest that people really look at their networks. Who are they currently networked with in meaningful ways? Not just the headcount that they have on their Facebook or their LinkedIn, but who do they regularly pick up the phone and talk to or Skype with or email? And how diverse is that network? Because diversity of network is going to create fluidity across the globe, and specifically in the regions that somebody wants to work in. I talk about globe a lot because our audiences work in so many different places, but look at your networks, where you are interested in working, where you currently work. Do you have a diverse network that can help you understand the on-the-ground issues there, help you understand the cultural issues there, so that you can develop yourself? So psychological capital would be a biggie, followed by our networks, which would fall under interpersonal impact and global social capital. And the third piece would be global business savvy. Global business savvy is an area that people tend to score pretty low in. And the reason for that is we often work with people who are specialized in a particular area. Their interest is in human resources. Their interest is only in cross-cultural management. And you can fill in the blank. Their interest is in. And sometimes if we focus too hard on our specialties, we're not getting a good 30,000-foot view of what's going on in the world. And that creates some issues of credibility. Not only is that about functional knowledge, but global business savvy is something that helps us grease the wheels where we're doing work. People need to know, for example, that we have some foundational knowledge of the industry that we're working in, especially if we're consulting. We need to know what's going on there. And we also need to be able to speak to what are the current events? What are some of the regional or world issues that may be affecting business trends in that particular environment? So the three tips that I've chosen do cross the full dynamic of global mindset, starting with that psychological capital, looking at one's relationships and networks, and then really exploring their knowledge, their higher level knowledge of what's going on in the industry and the world in general.
Excellent. Well, the book is Developing Your Global Mindset by Jenny Walker and Mansoor Javidan. Jenny is the Director of Global Learning and Market Development at the Najafi Global Mindset Institute at Thunderbird in Phoenix. And we are thrilled to have you be here on the Incandescent Radio Network and be our truly amazing Woman of the Month in the August issue of Be Incandescent magazine. So thank you so much for your time, Jenny.
Thank you, Hope. It's been my pleasure.
All right. So you have to check out this book, you guys. It's really awesome. And that's it today for the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network. Before we sign off, Jenny, tell us where people can get more information.
They can go to developingglobalmindset.com for more information on the book. And if they're interested particularly in our research, they can go to globalmindset.com.
Excellent. And definitely check out Thunderbird. It's an amazing school and definitely something that anyone who's interested in developing their global mindset should be aware of. So that's it for today. And if you have some more information for us, we'd love to hear your story. If you'd like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Radio Network, send me an email at hope@incandescentpr.com. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again for your time. So that's it for today's Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, where we always ask, what's your story? If you have a good one and would like to be interviewed on the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show, send me an email to hope@hopegibbs.com. Check back every Monday at noon for a new episode of the Incandescent Entrepreneur Show on the Incandescent Radio Network, www.incandescentradio.com. We look forward to talking to you next week. Here's to your incredible, indelible success.